Welcome to a special episode of the Cursed Checkpoint from HorribleNight.com for Thursday, December 12th, 2013, coming at you live on Horrible Nights, Twitch.tv/HorribleNight. I'm your host, Justin Lacey. Joined tonight for the first time this year, or this month, Cole Monroe. How the hell have you been, sir?
I've been really good, really busy with work and all, and playing a lot of video games. I'm actually playing a lot more video games now that the PS4 is out.
That's been the funny part, is like I've been wanting to I know you've been gaming more often than, you know, this is probably one of your heaviest gaming quarters of the year. And
yeah, absolutely.
I'm just anxious to talk to you about that. So I wanted to get you on.
To talk about it.
I wanted to get you on before we start doing our Grimmy stuff, just to get caught up, know where Cole's head is at going into the games of the year. But before that, you're also a consumer of plenty of media, and I just haven't talked in a while. So what else has been going on?
Well, let's see. What have I been watching? Saw the second Hunger Games. I really enjoyed that. I talked to Gar before, my wife before we went to see it. I was like, I really hope it's like Empire. But, you know, the dark middle chapter, and it turned out to be really similar to Empire, so I was pretty pumped about that. We saw it in, we have these luxury theaters in Las Vegas, two of them, where you have, like, the reclining seats, they have trays that swing into you.
Yeah.
You can basically fall asleep, like, you're really comfortable the whole movie. I actually fell asleep a little bit during Iron Man 3 when I saw it. But they have like a bar there too, so you can drink beer and wine. But we saw it on what they call DFX, which is like a huge screen, and not IMAX, but pretty big. And then they also have like speakers on the ceiling, like speakers all around. And
I want all of these things.
It was just way better experience than any normal theater. Yeah. I actually saw Gravity in one of those theaters too, but we saw it in D-Box. Which was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Those are all rumors. Of, like, I think I had to travel to Chicago to check that out. I don't know if there's any D-Box in Indy.
I mean, D-Box is really fucking dumb. Well, I mean, let me be honest. But, like, I had to try it out after, like, Giant Bomb was talking about it all the time.
Yeah.
And, man, it was pretty violent watching Gravity. Like, you get swung around and everything. So.
Huh.
But, I mean, I think you got to pick the right movie to go see it at D-Box for sure.
So have you been...
It was cool, yeah.
How often do you go to the theaters?
I've only been maybe four times this year.
Okay, yeah, because...
I saw Gravity, Hunger Games... Oh, five. Gravity, Hunger Games, Superman, Pacific Rim, and Iron Man 3. Those are the ones I've seen, yeah.
And so do you find yourself just kind of waiting for that movie I need the theater experience for it?
Yeah, I think... Yeah, pretty much. I want to go see those in the theater. But I love going to movies in the theater.
Me too.
And with that luxury option, it's just so much better. But it's just something that we just don't do that often, you know? But I still love it.
I just noticed a big shift in my habits of, like, I'm not going to the theater as often anymore. And because of that, I'm kind of, like, hit this point where I've gotten a little bit offset with what's available for me to stream. And what's in theaters, so, like, I don't really miss anything because I'm still getting that... I'm, like, 6 months behind, but I'm getting a constant flow of new movies that I didn't run out to see.
Yeah, exactly.
So the rush to go out to see the movie in theaters isn't there anymore. And, what was the last movie I finally saw Thor Dark World a few weeks ago with a buddy, but...
Did you like it?
Yeah, I loved it. I like the one-off Marvel movies. I want them to do only those.
Did you like the first Thor?
Yeah, but I think it's the weakest of all, at least, you know, this generation of Marvel stuff. I think that it was, like, the least entertaining, but this one had a lot more fun with itself, I think.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I had a problem with the first Thor, and I think it's my fault because I'd always fall asleep watching it. Like, I always start it, like, really late at night, and then I'd never get past a certain point. And so I watched that part, like, over and over again. I was just like, oh, this is... I finally watched the whole thing. I was just, like, kind of down on it. But I like that character in Loki a lot, so...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think it's... they can do a... I think that movie, one of my friends at work said it felt like Lord of the Rings meets Star Wars. Like, it was...
Oh, cool.
And it when you see it, it kind of makes sense. It's just... It's very different than the others, so... And they've done a good job with that so far. I just wonder when that magic will run out for Marvel. I had a...
Ant-Man. That's when it's going to run out.
Yeah, that is a... I don't know. That's... Well, that's Edgar Wright, though. He could have fun with that.
Yeah, that's true.
Been a pretty big... I think I'm rotating like 3 shows right now, which is a lot for me. So my weekly rotation of shows has been still into Sleepy Hollow.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Sons of Anarchy just wrapped up with that show.
Wait, did you watch the finale? Okay, I'm a season behind.
Oh, man.
But did you watch the finale?
Yes. All I will say is while
holy shit.
While I was kind of like, I'm not really a Breaking Bad detractor. I'd never seemed to be as obsessed with some of its fans, and I really came around in this last half season to like just recognizing how tight that show is and how awesome it is.
So Sons of Anarchy is my top 5 shows of all time.
And now, like, it was just like the way everything came together with the Sons finale in this season. It is still my top show. It just like I'm sorry, Breaking Bad fans. I'm all about the Suns, so
yeah. See, for me, it's Suns. I still love Lost, even though you know, whatever.
Yeah,
The Shield, Breaking Bad, and The Wire. Like, because The Shield, basically, this is a sequel to The Shield. If you've never watched The Shield, you should watch The Shield.
So
Sons of Anarchy is the sequel to The Shield.
So when I start making you watch Justified, you're gonna bump The Wire out of that list. That's too bad.
No, I'll probably bump Lost.
I'd say, yeah, Justified is it's in a neck and neck battle with Breaking Bad at this point for me.
I've heard Justified's really good, and since it took place in Kentucky and I lived there for a while, it's going to be interesting. But
I feel
God
like
damn, Sons of Anarchy is so good.
Yeah, I feel like Aaron in chat represents the Breaking Bad fans, and needs to make his T-shirt from his "fuck bikes, get meth" quote. Should actually be a street fight between Breaking Bad and Sons of Anarchy fans.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a season behind because Netflix always posts a season behind in Sons of Anarchy, but as soon as I finish this season, I think I have the season finale of whatever, season 5 it is, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Once I'm done with that, I'm just going to buy season 6, because
nice.
I mean, I know what happens, like, a couple episodes ago already, and I've been waiting for that moment for so long. Like, it's going to be awesome, so.
Yeah, it's been good TVing. Oh, and I forgot... American Horror Story, The Coven, still weird as ever, still awesome.
Cool. I need to catch up with that show.
But you never warmed up to Sleepy Hollow, it sounds like.
I never watched past the first episode. There was just bullshit that I could not get past.
I like it as my cheesy show. Like
I understand. Yeah, I totally understand that.
Trying to think of what
do you like it.
What it feels
like. Is it as cheesy as I cannot think of what it's called right now.
It's from
Winchester Brothers.
Yeah, it's cheesier than that. Like I feel like,
which is surprising because it's on Fox and not CW.
Right, but I mean,
I know it's from the creators of Fringe and stuff.
It feels like Fringe in that a little bit. So and then I mean the whole thing with that show is you either accept the ludicrousness around Ichabod's character and like because every episode has one or two jokes about. You know, him acclimating himself to the 21st century, you know, and just, oh, he's using the computer, that's really silly, and talking about the internets, but I don't know, I love this stuff. Actually, okay. This is, it's actually filled in for Castle for me, because I haven't been caught up on Castle, but that's the cheesy network show that has enough, like, geeky references that I appreciate it, so.
Yeah, I just think Nathan Fillion has a lot more going for him.
Sure.
Whatever, Ichabod's.
It doesn't have a magnetic character by any means, but it's good enough, and I like demon related content, so more of that is good because Supernatural just deals too much with angels anymore, and I'm over. Angels are just dicks, but. all right, let's warm up game talk wise. One other thing I haven't been doing so. Horrible Night. We've taken a light December. We're gearing up for Games of the Year. But ever since the charity marathon, things have been a little bit light on the content side, and that includes going over headlines, which we were doing on a weekly basis on our top video game podcast of the week. But we're retooling that show. But I thought I'd just, I want to talk games industry stuff, because you and I like to keep an eye on things. So I've bookmarked several headlines here, and let's see what stands out in the last month. But is there anything top of mind for you before I dive in? Like, just hot industry topics that, what's been kind of catching your attention?
Despite the bullshit behind fanboyism behind like the new console releases, the only thing that really stands out, or that I, you know, think of top of, off the top of my head, is like that Notch could have worked for Valve at one time, and that was just something that came out like this week, I think. So I don't know. I can't really remember anything outside of that until you jog my memory with
some. Sure. Time. Yeah. No, that whole thing when I read that Notch might have gone to Valve, I was like, well, he is kind of like, if anybody's in a position to be the next Gabe, he seems to be.
Yeah, for sure.
He's kind of doing his thing. He was on it was so bizarre. He jumped on what's the Late Late Show? With Craig Ferguson. That was you need to go back watch that interview. It's the most awkward thing ever, but it's awesome.
Yeah, I don't watch it all the time, and I haven't watched it in a long time, but I love Craig Ferguson because of just, he's so weird, and his interview style is so weird and awkward and funny, like, I love it.
Matt, I'm going to turn your silly question from chat into something serious, but he asks me, what's Lydia doing while she waits for me to come back to her in Skyrim? Do you have any, Cole, do you have any, like, gaming, any games this year that you wish you'd spent more time with? Because I fully intended to get through Skyrim this year, but it hasn't happened. I kind of stopped.
I have a couple off the top of my head. Dishonored is one.
Yeah. Yep. Good call.
I started that one recently, like maybe a month or two ago, and I just got to a point I was just like, got distracted by PS4 and other things.
Sure.
But that game's pretty great. Also, The Witcher 2.
I would throw in Witcher 2 as my big one, because...
Yeah, that's my big one, but I started playing it again this weekend, so...
How many hours are you in?
Hopefully...
Enough.
I got almost to the point where I left off before, almost. So I'm still in, like, the first area after the tutorial. God, that game is so pretty, and
yeah, I hope you stick with it. I hope
it's so fun to play. I did too.
We got to hold each other to that to get through that before Witcher 3. So,
yeah.
Let's see.
It's such a huge game and so hard in some places, but it's cool.
Let's see here. Big one. Carmack left id for good. And then Doom just went through its 20th anniversary. Which reminded me that. One of the few books I've read ever is, I think it's called that's not Masters of Doom. Hold on. There's a, basically the biography of id Software. It is called Masters of Doom. Huh. I thought that was Master Levels of Doom is what I was thinking of. But, David Kushner's written multiple books on Carmack and that whole story, but end of an era, man.
Yeah, that I'm not surprised by it, since he had jumped on the
Oculus,
Oculus Rift, and it was just a matter of time, I think, before he left. And I think with id going under Bethesda, you know, maybe the writing was on the wall there. But it's a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. Big deal.
News out of, did you watch VGX? I didn't watch any of it. I'm kind of glad I didn't.
I watched the trailer. I watched Witcher 3 trailer. Think that's it.
Yeah.
Oh no, the Happy Game or Hello Games trailer, which looks fucking awesome.
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky.
Procedurally generated space combat game. Insane.
Yeah, those are the two I watched. Yeah.
The big bummer out of that show, other than its jokes falling on their face, Destiny's launch date in fucking September of next year.
Yeah. When's Titanfall supposed to come out?
That's a March game, so I think they're getting out of the way, which business-wise makes a lot of sense, but for me, I'm not excited for Titanfall. I want to play Destiny, so come on, give it to me.
Which one is exclusive? Well, PC and 360?
Titanfall's exclusive to Xbox and PC. Destiny has an exclusive beta on the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3. So they are edging a little bit towards Sony. I think Sony needs to lock that up.
Yeah.
But I don't think they will. the more people I can play Destiny with, the better, so I don't really care. But we'll talk about the PS4 a bit, but just looking out in the future, I still don't, outside of Infamous Second Son, I don't really see that game that's making me super excited about my console. Watch Dogs was supposed to be my launch title, but like seeing Watch Dogs and Destiny get pushed back. You know, Watch Dogs will be, I guess, spring, but I need another tentpole out there from Sony.
Yeah.
Let's see. Both the consoles, they've basically sold 2 million at this point, and they're both sold faster than any other consoles have. So, but it looks to be neck and neck. I think
stock is like replenishing in stores a lot faster too.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like they had their, which it, you know, about a year ago, it didn't sound like they were worried they're going to be able to produce enough consoles, but the manufacturing side seems to have been handled all right. I expected more problems with not very many being available to start, but
yeah, for sure.
But they were able to sell like a million in 24 hours, both of them.
That's crazy.
I'm still waiting to see, like, they're not, you know, they tell their own stories when they release their numbers about the console sales. You know, they spin it however they need to, but, you know, my circles of friends, everybody still just talks about the Xbox One. That seems like there's just...
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's all I've heard about is, like, the guys going after new consoles around me all talk about Xbox first, and I think it comes from that was their primary console last gen, and they're just gonna keep moving forward with it. But that's surprising.
That's interesting. Like all the guys that play at work that I've talked to, if they don't already have a PS4, there's one guy who has both. But if they don't already have a PS4, all they're talking about is getting a PS4, mm-hmm. not an Xbox. So. That's interesting. They're all 360 guys before these new consoles come out.
There's also been some interesting, like, it's fun, as bad as E3 went for Microsoft, a lot of that stuff's kind of been pushed aside, but there are still, like, lingering rumors that aren't even necessarily true that are hanging with some people. I was on a conversation this weekend that people worried, like, I heard the new Kinect can detect how many people are in the room watching a movie, and if it's too many, they'll shut that movie down. And I was just like, kind of taken aback that rumor got out there.
Yeah,
it's like it's all.
I think that was something that they talked about like originally with the Kinect, but it was never a fact or never implemented.
It's like I'm sure it can track faces, but and I'm sure that's there if they need it, but it's definitely not activated. So,
right.
All right. Where else? Oh, just there's an NBA 2K13 Space Jam mod, just for the record.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah. Let's breezing through the end of November here. Telltale. That was some other big news from BGX. First of all, react to Telltale Game of Thrones. Go.
I don't know. Walking Dead was good. I think it was... You know, despite the arguments if it was a real game or not, like a game, that doesn't matter anymore. Like it was a cool piece of entertainment. The Fables game looks really cool. I haven't played it.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
I read the first graphic novel and I was like, wow, this is cool. Mm-hmm. I bet that game is pretty sick with old BB Wolf. I don't know. Like, if it's just going to tell the same story, I don't know if it's going to be as interesting.
I doubt they tell the same story.
It branches out, it tells different stories with different characters throughout, and they can make them as interesting as the Starks and the Lannisters and all those other characters. Like
political intrigue game, adventure game.
We're probably going to get it, yeah. Yeah, the political intrigue, sex with your relatives game.
And then the game everybody wants from Telltale. Apparently they're doing a Borderlands game. I don't get that at all. Because we all go to Borderlands for the story.
Did you see those renderings of the 2D Borderlands?
Oh, like yeah. Side-scroller one?
Yeah, the side-scroller one. Yeah. That looked like it would be a lot of fun.
I wish there was just a company out there just making D-makes like that, just left and right. That'd be...
Well, I mean, like, it reminds me, like, it could be, like, a Contra or a Metal Slug, you know? That kind of style, but with Borderlands and those characters, and...
Nilmar's been into Borderlands 2 quite a bit. I think I got him excited, but... Yeah, so this new Borderlands from Telltale, it'll play like The Walking Dead or an adventure game of theirs, so it's all stories from the Borderlands. Who even knows what that means?
Old Handsome Jack.
Let's see. Starbound, big release this week. I've been playing a bit. You interested
at all? Why the fuck did I buy that? Yeah, I bought it.
You don't have time for that.
Oh, this looks... I know. I was like, "Wow, this looks really cool. All you guys bought it. Let me check what this is about." Holy shit! I do not know how to play this game.
Yeah, it's intimidating.
How the fuck do you build a workbench?
I'll have to find it, but there was a webcomic going around, or it's either a webcomic or a Twitter conversation. It was a Twitter conversation. Sorry, of a guy just basically like chatting with his friend, like, "I'm in Starbound. What do I do with this? What am I supposed to do? Blah, 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 blah." It's like, is this how people feel when they play Minecraft? It's actually got a better tutorial than those two games. Like, it gave me some goals a little bit, but I don't know.
Yeah, I chopped up some dudes and I cut down some trees and I figured out how to suck up some dirt and then replant the dirt so I could make stairs.
You made stairs?
Other than that, yeah, so I could get to higher places I couldn't jump to. But other than that, I was like, why did I do this? But I really like the look of it, and I like the premise, like the promise of it, you know? Is it made by the Terraria guys? Or is
I think one of the Terraria things? Guys was, okay. He's working on it. I think they split up, so, if I remember right. Okay. I think that the other guy, I think he's working on Terraria too, so.
Sweet.
But I put more time into that than I've put into Terraria or Minecraft already, so I like it, but I'm going to try to put it off for next year because it'll be a time sink, and I've got games of the year to finish up, or games of this year to finish up.
Let's not end this podcast before we talk about some Tomb Raiding.
All right. Oh, sweet. Yeah, because I finished that as well. So, hey, how excited are you for the Definitive Edition? Let's rebuy it again for a PlayStation 4. What do you think?
Kind of want to play it again. I'm not going to buy it. I have it on PC. It looks fine.
Let's see. Oh, so The Walking Dead Season 2, that trailer came out today. Rumor is that the first episode might be out next week.
Walking Dead?
Yeah. Playing
Holy shit, I still need it. I need to finish it.
Yeah. I'm not emotionally ready for it. But the surprise to me was that Fables, The Wolf Among Us, Episode 2 isn't going to come out till next year, next January.
Like, I need to buy that.
It's been a long, long wait for that. But I can't be mad at them. I just wish they hadn't... You know, they honestly probably could have gotten by with just... I don't know. I was going to say, they could probably have gotten by this year with just going straight into The Walking Dead Season 2 and then releasing Wolf Among Us right after that. Like... Telltale doing two games at once is still kind of weird.
Yeah, do you think their studio has grown enough in terms of people that they can...
Yeah, they have, I know they have two teams.
They have two teams.
Yeah.
Because now which team is going to be working on Game of Thrones, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought there was another game they were working on too, but they've grown. I mean, they, especially after winning all their Games of the Year stuff, they're probably... I've got some more tricks up their sleeve, but it just seems unnecessary. Like, they could have, I don't know, planned that a little better. I bet Wolf Among Us was just supposed to come out sooner than it did.
I really hope for their sake that they're not riding this wave, or, you know, this wave of adventure game kind of style games, and do something different at some point to where they don't end up like a Sierra or a LucasArts, you know.
I think they
stop making interesting games.
I mean, I had those concerns going into The Wolf Among Us. It plays much more like a detective story, which it actually is a lot like Sam and Max in that regard, but it was a departure enough from Walking Dead that gave me some more confidence in them. But they are, you know, taking on two more franchises. They'll have to mix things up a little bit. So, I didn't watch this, but there is a headline that says Snoop Dogg endorses next gen Rayman Legends in release date trailer. So I need to check that out. Snoop Dogg putting his name to anything.
He probably just got stoned and saw all the pretty colors and was like, yeah.
Alright, I think that's kind of what's been going on. I mean, most of the news was around the hardware releases. And speaking of which, you got a PlayStation 4. I don't think you and I have really talked about it. So, how's your PlayStation 4 doing?
My PlayStation 4 is doing awesome. I got one of those controller charging cradle things, which yeah. I love, for my two controllers.
I will now buy one of those during the show. Keep going.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool little thing. I actually got it at Best Buy. I don't know what brand it is anymore. I really love like everything about it. I haven't had any. Well, I've had some connectivity issues in terms of like signing on the PlayStation Store, like right away. Mm. Usually, I'll just like back out and then log back in, or you know, connect back in, and it's fine. I have like 5 games. And all I'm playing is NBA 2K14.
That game won me over, too.
God damn, that game is so much... It's so frustrating. I was talking to Andy online when he was streaming one time. I was in chat, which is awesome, too, because he was streaming. I was watching it on my PlayStation 4, and, I mean, the only part that sucked, I was typing in my text with my controller. But whatever, like, the ability to watch his stream and, like, have him talk to me while he was playing and I was watching was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Twitch did a very smart thing there, and it's too bad the Xbox didn't get that out.
But God damn, that game could be so fun and so frustrating at the same time.
Can we, and I'm assuming you're playing this too, can we talk about the My Career mode?
Yeah, that's all I've played.
It is awesome and terrible.
What team did you get drafted by?
I got drafted by the Hawks, so I redid it and got drafted by... I still didn't get drafted above the rival guy, even though I shut him down in that rookie game. No, wasn't the Timberwolves... I got interviewed by the Timberwolves, the Trailblazers. I haven't gone back to play since I got drafted, so... Not the Hawks? So oh, Pistons! I'm on the Pistons.
Okay, I'm on the Kings.
I'm on the bench for the Pistons.
Yeah, I had back-to-back games of, like, one had a 37-point game and then 25. I'm still coming off the bench.
Yeah, I think, like, it's so weird. Okay.
It's so weird. It's fun. I've requested a trade. The Pacers are interested. I'm hoping.
Did you put them as your... let's see. The format of this is you get picked up off the street to get into the rookie game, like, before the draft. And I've spoke about this on the other podcast of my first big problem, even though there's no way around this unless you make this like a huge RPG engine. They have obviously written one story for your character, and your character is only one archetype of a basketball player, which is an archetype that drove me away from basketball to begin with. He's just a little thug. And he's a thug that wants to be like... No matter what type of player you are, he wants to be, like, the best player in the NBA. Like, that is what he is all about. Which is, you know, I get the motivation behind it. But it is weird, like, playing as this personality that is kind of dictated for you. Because they give you all, like, they give you little dialogue moments. And you're talking with your agent. You're trash-talking with your rival. But yeah, anyway, you play in the rookie game based on your performance. You then go into pre-draft interviews with general managers of a handful of teams, and then you actually sit there for the NBA draft, which is handled really well. It's still, like I said, it's fascinating, but I feel like I'm watching it more as a train wreck than enjoying it.
Yeah, it's not the strongest part of the game for sure, and. Like, when you get into the game, you talk to your GM over and over again, and, like, dude, Bob from maintenance has had a birthday, like, 3 times. he's asked me about my apartment, and I should have a party, like, 3 times. Like, it's just, it's so dumb.
It is a soap opera. Aaron's right.
It is. But when you get, like, and I've requested a trade, so, like, there's all the drama that's going on with that. And but then again, like, the basketball part of it
is awesome.
So good.
It's awesome.
It's so good that it's almost like worth putting up with kind of the shitty load times and that other stuff.
That stuff hasn't even bothered me. So one thing I noticed when I'm playing like exhibition games or games against friends, I'm using the typical sideline TV camera angle.
Yep.
When it loaded up that rookie game, it did the behind the basket type cam following you up and down the floor because you're really only the one guy. You're not switching between players. Which camera do you use for your career?
So I started off with the behind the basket camera.
Yeah.
But then, like, when I watched Andy's stream, I was like, oh, I didn't even think about changing the camera angle until I saw his. And so I changed it to the sideline, like, TV presentation.
Okay.
And I started playing much better.
I don't know. Like, I like playing defense in that behind the back camera, basically. But it brought back some AAU memories. So.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think about that kind of stuff all the time. We're about high school and boys club and all that stuff. So.
But yeah, I bought FIFA. It's fine, but it's not very next gen to me. But playing NBA 2K14, that was the leap I was looking for, and it's been so long since I played a basketball game, and everybody said about it, it is probably the best sports game out there. Like, it is.
Yeah, I think probably besides NHL hockey, if that's still good, I don't know. last couple of years it was pretty good. So what other games do you have?
Let's see, what do I have? Still love Resogun, but people have talked about that. So I picked up Killzone. Played a good chunk of it, but I played enough of it for this year. I want to go back and finish it, but I like that game a lot more than I thought I would.
I barely played it.
It's
just had other things.
It's got a little bit more, like, the combat in it is much more open world, open area, like more of a Halo type of battle scenario, like guys coming in from different angles and you have to use different tactics on it, and I didn't really expect that. And one of the main weapons is really satisfying to use because it kind of just, like, almost explodes guys. And I've heard the story. I don't care, but it looks gorgeous. It gave me my next gen moment. Just some of its skyline stuff, and
it's
fine.
Game,
it's
sure.
fine.
Yeah.
I still think neither console has a system seller on it, and the launch lineups are they're not great. There's no reason to rush out and buy one, kind of thing. So,
yeah.
What else did I get?
So yeah, I got Killzone. I got did you get Knack?
I did not get Knack. So tell me about Knack, because Andy hates it more than any person on the planet. It's the only opinion I've heard, and you're probably more reasonable with your opinion here.
Yeah, I think, like, and Jason hates it. I don't even know if he's seen it before. I don't hate it. It reminds me of, it's not a next gen game, like, it's not a current, whatever. It's
a PlayStation 1 character driven platformer.
Exactly. Graphically, yeah, it's pretty good looking. There are some issues there, but it's just a platformy sort of action brawler. It's fine. It's like, I think if you played it around Lily, she would love it.
Yeah.
Like, she would really love it. The voice acting for Knack is terrible. like, the voice acting, the acting part is fine. The voice is just totally wrong for the character. I don't even really want to get into it.
Sure.
But
you found some fun in it?
Yeah, it's fun. It's also, like, it reminds me, it's very frustrating. Because the checkpoints, while pretty liberal, like, sometimes they set you back pretty far. So when you die, you get set back pretty far. And some parts are kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of, like a Double Dragon or a Ninja Gaiden or something like that.
Really? Wow.
Just not like, that good, but some of the difficulty and, like, frustrating difficulty where you're
throwing
your controller. Yeah. But, yeah, it's fine. It's... Am I gonna look back, 8 years from now and think fondly on the game? No, I'm just gonna be like, wow, I can't believe I bought that. But
you had to buy something, man.
I had to buy something.
I almost ended up with Need for Speed Rivals. I almost ended up with... What else was I juggling there? I bought Ass Creed
and Battlefield 4
That's
as well.
It. Have you been playing some Pirates on the PlayStation 4?
Yeah, I think I'm in Nassau right now. So I'm not like too deep into it. But that's a pretty looking game. I know where I'm at. I'm at the ship, the first like major ship part where you have to blow up ships for metal. And I got so pissed off because I get so close to destroying the last ship full of metal, and then another big old ship comes in and just blows the shit out of me.
I literally
turned it off and I haven't played since.
I literally streamed that last night, and one of the things I appreciate about that game is that I'm a terrible boat driver, as I've been saying.
I'm terrible too.
I can use all of these horrible tactics. But honestly, when you die, at least on the boat, I don't really know what the penalty is. You just kind of start over somewhere else, and I'm sure you lose some stuff. But I just get right back out there, that's the big thing. You get into a battle with one of the big ships. Usually, another big ship has showed up by the end of that battle, and it gets pretty hectic. But it's the game is fun. I am all in for Pirates Creed. I am all in.
Yeah, It's definitely refreshing to get back into it. I haven't played anything really since 2. I finished 2 and then played a little bit of Brotherhood, I think. And I kind of gave up. But
you've played what you need to play.
Yeah, the new setting. I read all the endings of the previous Assassin's Creed. And found out what happened before I dove into this one.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all. I was hoping it would matter, but it doesn't at all.
Yeah, I'm good. I hope they've let that go as much as we all have. So, anything else like hardware wise? The PS4. You said in chat you love the DualShock 4. How do your giant hands feel about the DualShock 4?
I like it a lot. The triggers are way better than 3 for sure. I mean, I pretty much feel like everybody said previously. The hands feel fine. I kind of wish it would work better with Steam because I would just switch to it all the time.
It'll get there.
So I still have my 360 controller for Steam, but I would totally switch.
Yep. I like being able to go back and forth. Like I'm not a.
I'm agnostic.
You can't make me upset about moving the stick up or down. So. I'm fine with either control. I have not held an Xbox One controller yet, and
okay. So I went to the store. I was at Fry's, and they had a demo unit, and I put my hands on it. Honestly, I did not like it. The sticks were too high.
Interesting.
The bumpers, I just didn't like it. So,
do you
like if it in the future? I mean, I would stay with the 360 controller for Steam. I would not move to the Xbox.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'd go PS4 if that's made available.
Gotcha.
For sure.
Gotcha. Anything else about the interface, hardware, any just general PlayStation 4 ownership stuff?
Well, so I never had my PS3 hooked up to a 1080p TV. It was always 720.
Yeah.
And so I started streaming Netflix on my PS4. Holy shit, to my computer monitor, which is 1080p. Holy shit, like, it looks fucking good.
Welcome to 2010.
Yeah, 2010. No, it looks really good.
That's awesome.
So I watched a little bit of Netflix on there. But, the interface is fine. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the future. Mm-hmm. Right now, I think it's in a good spot.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see. They didn't really, update the PlayStation 3 interface too much. I mean, especially when compared to Microsoft. But I wonder if they have some tricks up their sleeve for that. So,
one thing I did notice is... is it HDCP thing that Sony has on their thing that you have to output directly to a TV. You can't have any like intermediaries go in between. So I have an HDMI switcher because my TV only has 2 ports. So I was hoping to use that. Couldn't use it.
Oh,
so,
that's a shame.
That was kind of disappointing, but I just moved my PC and my Wii U to the switcher and that's fine.
Yeah, that actually... That HDCP stuff gets in the way of streaming as well.
I think they're going to patch it out.
Yes,
so
they're patching out in the spring.
So that'll be cool.
Yep. And then I guess is the Xbox Xbox One on the horizon for you at all in the next year? Curiosity about that?
I don't think so. I'm wondering if I'm ever going to get one, honestly, at this point. Like, I know I'm an idiot because I probably will at some point, and saying that is just really stupid. But I have a PC now, and pretty much any of the games come out for PC that I want to play. And I'm not, like, so locked into their exclusive games.
Yep.
The one, like, Titanfall I'm interested in, but it's coming for PC.
Yep.
So, no interest, really.
Totally understand that, because I keep, like, even when I have a multi-platform release, I'm still leaning towards the PC side, but, like Sony's stable of exclusive games, Microsoft doesn't really have the draw for me quite yet, but I will probably get one in the spring, just to have one, just because, I don't know, some of their other stuff they're doing that is interesting, and I can always find games, and who knows where we'll be at this point next year. Just really curious to see how
that's true.
That all turns
out. I'm just
out.
Not, yeah, and like the other stuff that they have is just not appealing to me right now, so I think if I was more interested in the TV side, there would be a bigger draw, but right now there's not. I got too much shit on my TV as it is.
Yeah. So have you, Aaron and I, well, we did a Games of the Year preview, and we're going through, like, all the releases from Nintendo, and, like, looking back at, like, holy shit, the 3DS had an awesome year, and then we had a pretty major Wii U release. What's going on with Nintendo in your life in the last month?
Well, been playing some Link, what's it called?
Link Between Worlds.
Wow, talking about hitting every nostalgia button in my body. I'm loving that game. I just got to the low rule, so still pretty early on. Enjoying it though so far. But yeah, there's a lot of great games for Nintendo. I'm hoping to get the Cat Mario for Christmas.
Okay. I didn't know.
I held out on buying that.
I was surprised you could do that, because your wife loves her some Mario games.
She does, and I showed it to her. I was like, "Hey, Mario's in a cat suit," and she was like, "Oh, that's awesome." But her issue with Mario games is, like, she likes the 2D ones because she can follow the action, and she's like, she's just not good with the 3D.
My fiance action, had the same concerns, and she has beat the game, and I haven't. So
okay. Well then. I told her we could play together, so she was excited about the trailer.
Cool.
But I like getting Nintendo games for Christmas. So.
that's really funny, and really, I totally know what you mean.
Yeah.
I said the other day. So I finished Link Between Worlds this weekend, but I, like, kind of went heads down on it, and I was just I just said, there's just something right about playing Nintendo games, like, during December, during the holiday season. I always associate Zelda with Thanksgiving because of Ocarina of Time. Like, every time a Zelda game comes out, it comes out right before Thanksgiving, and I can't play it because I'm having to, like, spend time with family. And so, and this happened again with Link Between Worlds. I did find one flaw in Link Between Worlds, and that is, when I was done, I no longer had a new Zelda game to play. But that's all I've come up with. So it's
good.
Yeah, it's
overall. Yeah,
it's.
I found myself getting stuck in some spots.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
Whoa!
I like being stuck.
Yeah, it is awesome. No, I do too. Especially in that game, I didn't want to jam through it. And I was just like, oh my god! Like, I expected this to be, like, easy, and it's not.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing your reaction to Super Mario 3D World once you get your hands on it, because that game is
another cool thing with Nintendo is one of my friends has actually applied for a job there.
Oh, nice!
And had an interview and, like, took a picture and sent it to me that she was there. So I was like, well, if you get a job there,
we can open the floodgates of people.
Yeah.
might want to be involved.
Yeah, no, so that's been pretty cool too. Like, exciting.
Cool. Anything else? Do you want to shout out Nintendo wise, or you want to move on to everything else?
Man, I just want to say the 3DS had a great year. With I'm drawing a blank now. The
Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate. That's what you're going to talk about.
Blackgate, I was thinking about getting it for Vita instead. I haven't got it, though. No, the... what's the turn-based strategy?
RPG? Fire Emblem?
Fire Emblem, yeah, that came out earlier this year, so...
Yep.
And then the Pokemans, they had a good year.
Yeah, good year. So Aaron's been throwing... He's been saying, like, guys, I need someone to actually put some consideration behind the Pokemons. And I don't know who can support him in that, because I don't know, I don't feel like I have the background for it since I've never played one to compare it. But he's saying it's legit, man.
I feel like we aged out of
Pokemon. Well, I missed it by 2 years. Missed that and Power Rangers and
I got into
the next gen of Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Which, by the way, all the Are You Afraid of the Darks are on Amazon Prime streaming. Just want to throw that out there. But yeah, like, I feel like if I played Pokemon, I would just be like, no, this isn't for me.
Have you played any of the Ace Attorney games? That's the other one we've been going on.
No, I haven't at all. I played some Laytons, but no Ace Attorneys.
Gotcha.
I feel like my wife would like Ace Attorney.
Yeah. Objection.
Yeah.
Speaking of Vita, you play anything on the Vita? Or is it just looking sexy next to you?
It's just looking sexy. I tried to play some Black Flag on it, streaming from my PS4. It looked great. I did not like the controls, though.
Yeah, it's missing a couple buttons, so...
Yeah. I haven't really played that much on it, honestly.
What just came out for it? There was another free game that I was excited about. Shit. I don't remember, but Spelunky's supposed to be awesome on it.
I do have Spelunky. It is awesome.
And some of that
now they have
cross-buy shit.
They have the daily challenges, too.
Did you get Dragon's Crown?
Nope.
Do you have interest in Dragon's Crown?
I think it looks cool, but I don't have any interest in it.
Alright. Fair enough. Alright, what have you been doing on your PC to wrap this up?
PC. I bought a shit ton of games last week. Starbound. Mm-hmm. Let me open up Steam real quick to Starbound. I bought. Come on, Steamy. What else did I get?
Tell me what I've been doing.
I didn't buy Final Fantasy VIII, which is surprising, because since it's on a new whatever.
We talked about it before the show, but fuck that game.
Yeah. You kind of made fun of me for playing Rocksmith and Final Fantasy IX.
Tell me about Rocksmith.
Okay, so I would have never bought Rocksmith if one of my coworkers hadn't bought it and told me it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I bought the first one. He ended up buying the second one and saying it's way better than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard. So you plug your guitar in, and then electric guitar. Okay. It could be electric guitar. I have an electric acoustic, so I plug that in. The one bad thing about that is you can hear the acoustic strings before you can hear it on your headphones, because I've been playing on my headphones.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of delay there, but it's not enough to where it's affecting the gameplay. But it actually helps you learn how to play guitar better and play songs and get your fingers into shape and all that stuff. And it's like, I was really surprised of how elaborate it was, honestly.
A couple guys in my office have been talking about it, because one of them that's in a band currently said, ever since I got this game, I am practicing more than I ever have, because it just encourages you to do so. And
it does, yeah.
It sounds like it's a decent teacher, but also should appeal to anyone that can play guitar and has a passing interest in staying up on that. It sounds really, because it's gotten really great buzz for a game that I thought was going to come and go, and then they released another one and everybody's starting to talk about it, and it's on PC now. It's on everything.
I've been playing on PC. Yeah. It's interesting. And then I downloaded Final Fantasy IX on the Vita, and that's the last game I really played on there. Mm-hmm. So I also bought Tiny Barbarian.
Good choice.
Which is fucking awesome. Yes. Which is fucking hard, but awesome. Especially those goddamn bats. bought Mass Effect 3 on Origin, because it was like, or on Amazon, because it was like $5 a couple weeks ago.
I heard that was a really good game last year. Like, there's a couple websites that said, hey, You should play it.
Still haven't finished it.
Yeah. That's okay.
haven't played it on my PC at all. I still have a save on the Xbox, but I might just start over. I bought Mass Effect 1 and 2 because, you know, why not? For historical reasons, I needed it on Steam. I think that's it.
And then you've been playing The Witcher 2.
Started The Witcher 2 this weekend again. Probably played 4 or 5 hours of it this weekend. And it's a really hard game to, like, set down and pick back up because there's so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, the controls and, like, what your spells are and all that stuff. So I kind of want to just get a refresher on it and try to get past where I was before. I think everybody should play The Witcher. I think it's...
the most underrated series of this generation.
Absolutely.
Can I throw out extravagant phrases that on a game I haven't played?
Yeah. It's what I wish Skyrim could be.
Oh, wow.
Like, for me. Not for everybody, but for me. Like, The Witcher 2 is what I want Skyrim to be.
Well, I think, isn't The Witcher 3 trying to be more Skyrim? So that'll be interesting.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, but I love the control. It's graphically, it's gorgeous. Like, it's so pretty. And just, like, the storyline is really good. The voice acting is amazing. Like, it's really, I think, underrated. Or, you know, I mean, for as cheap as it is on Steam all the time, like, everybody should own it.
I can't wait to, once one of us has put more than 10 hours into it. I think Aaron has.
Yeah.
But, I don't know why I didn't make it into my queue this year, but I've decided I need to make a list for games I have to play for the next 3 months when nothing new's come out, you know? And,
yeah.
Like, to kick off next year, I need to finish some 2012 games and before it gets too far, so.
Yeah, for sure.
What were you playing before The Witcher?
A lot of PS4, okay. Actually. On Steam, though, let's see. Played Saints Row 4, never finished it. Kind of just got tired of it, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I mean, earlier this year, we can talk about Tomb Raider if you want to.
Let's have a Tomb Raider moment, because we haven't talked since I went back
and
beat
it. Since you finally finished it. And we need to talk about BioShock Infinite as well, if you finished it yet.
Yes, we can do that.
So, Tomb Raider. So, should we get in, like, what my top games of the year are? Because, those are the games
I want you to throw them out there, because, yeah, we kind of had our other discussion, but I need you to color it a little.
I also bought Brothers last week and played about 2 hours of it, I think.
So you're so close to being done!
I had to go somewhere out.
Oh, man!
I really enjoy that game.
You're not allowed to be a part of our Grimmies conversation if you haven't played Brothers. That's a rule.
I will finish it this weekend.
I'm not saying it's going to win Game of the Year, but God, that's a goddamn video game.
I wonder how close I am.
So
Tomb Raider.
What would you like to say since you wrote about 3 editorials on it that never went?
Never posted?
Yeah.
Like, Tomb Raider scratches an itch within me that, like, the Uncharted series does, which I need to go back and play. Just any adventure games like that. Even old, too. Like, Tomb Raider Legend was, like, the first Tomb Raider I really loved. I think it was Legend on the original Xbox. And then this... Oh, dude, like, everything... It's not a traditional Tomb Raider game. It's more Uncharted influenced, which is fine. That girl takes a crazy beating, but like all that, like I think it was just really well written. It was interesting, like it stayed interesting. The combat was interesting the whole time through. Even like I don't know, like I wish this makes me sound crazy, but I wish like there were stuff like that in the world now. That you could go and find.
No, I know. I mean, I love the adventuring side.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So.
And I love when it's
just thinking about
loosely grounded in reality. Like, that's why I play those games. That will be forever my favorite genre. Like that action adventure hybrid, character driven. And yeah, there was, I said, I think I live streamed the last two thirds of that game after I finally went back to it. And that game took a turn for the awesome. And
yeah,
it was just a lot more fun to play than I could have ever expected.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was so much fun. It was hard to put down. Every time I put it down, really I wanted to get back. Yeah. Like, I even went back and tried to, like, get everything in it.
Really?
Just because it was, after I finished
it,
I didn't.
It was structured really well for that, for sure.
Yeah, it was. And you could jump back and forth, and it looks so good on PC.
Yep.
And honestly, like Assassin's Creed Black Flag on PS4 has kind of that same, to me, has the same kind of, like, grainy look to it that Tomb Raider did that I really enjoy.
Yeah, it's they went for grit and they nailed it. And
they nailed it. Yeah.
The only thing that holds Tomb Raider back in my mind is like my balls out fun to play action game of the year, which came out right before it was Devil May Cry, and it's just when I compare those games, I'm gonna always lean towards Devil May Cry, but Tomb Raider was still a huge surprise. Like I thought I knew what to expect from that game, just the way they kind of, you know, the marketing for it was so in your face, and so I knew what they were gonna do to Laura, and I couldn't be more excited to see what they do next. Like, because I don't like, did they really like, you know, kind of break down this character and then rebuild her as, you know, a true explorer and a tough adventurer and all that, and I want to see that payoff, because the arc for that character in this game was fantastic, and just really, like, I mean, it worked. I was really connected with that character. Like, it just, I felt every little piece of pain that she went through.
Oh my god, when there's, like, you're, like, going down the waterfalls and, like, missing the correct button and that stick just goes through your face, like, oh my god, dude, yeah. It was so rough to watch sometimes,
yeah.
But...
Yeah. I want to blend this into our Bioshock Infinite conversation, but some of the degrees to the violence, or, like, the, you know, the extra seconds that they would hold on some of her deaths, like, that was just, like, I didn't see the point of it. Yeah. And it just drew attention to it that I don't think that was intended. But everything else around, like, the story, the characters, and her interactions with the story were, I think, handled really well, and I can't wait to continue more adventures with this Laura. Other than...
Me too.
Do you watch Californication?
I do not.
And I think I've said this before, but...
I've heard you say it, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, Laura's historically, is as close to a video game sex symbol as there has been. And, yeah, the fact that the voice actress for her, I've seen her naked on Californication makes me uncomfortable. So, but other than that, she's did a fantastic job. So it's just, I picture the actress sometimes, and that's not what the game intended. So that's a problem with me, not the game designers. But violence and Bioshock Infinite. So did you beat Bioshock Infinite?
Yeah, I beat it with like 2 weeks of its release.
Okay, because who knows why the fuck I got distracted. I got distracted because it wasn't running as well as I wanted to on my new PC, and I refused to turn down any settings, but...
Did you finish it finally?
Yeah. That was a mindfuck.
Yeah, complete mindfuck.
I've been through a lot recently with video games. So I finished, very recently finished, Brothers, The Last of Us, Bioshock Infinite, and we'll talk about this coming up. I also played through Gone Home, and I think there was another one in there. And then I'm dreading The Walking Dead. Video games have put me through a lot of shit. I am an emotional wreck, and Bioshock twisted me in different ways, and we will probably do a spoiler cast yet on the ending, so I will avoid that stuff, but it definitely left its mark. I will say that the gameplay in Bioshock Infinite is amazing. It is great. The storytelling in Bioshock Infinite is amazing. It is great. mashed together, I think they weaken each other. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I never really looked at it like that, but that I can see that.
It's
just because of the way, like, that storytelling, I think it could be served so much better, maybe just a third-person game, or just a different style, like, I don't know.
Both of them held each other back.
Yeah. Because there's certain things you can do in a first-person game story-wise that you can't, or gameplay-wise, that you can't do in another game style of game, but then you can do that story-wise. Yeah.
But it's still...
God damn, that game was violent, too. Holy shit.
So that was on the violent side of that. Like, I still... While I appreciate video game violence and intense gore, and it has its place, and I was cheering on Booker every time I drove a skyhook into a dude's face, I didn't really understand the degree of the violence. Like, it still felt a little bit off, like, in that world.
So the first time, you know, you really kill somebody is, like, you know, you could choose to throw the baseball at the guard or whatever.
Right.
In the beginning. And then I was like, okay, this is going to be, you know, whatever. I throw the baseball at the guard because, well, I'll get to that in a second. But then the skyhook, you know, you grab the guy's throat and then pop his head off. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I did not You know, I'm in this beautiful world. I'm listening to the Beach Boys, like, by a barbershop, and like, oh, there's some racial things going on here. I don't like that. But I didn't realize I was going to, like, maul this guy's head off. And so, like, I think there was a good juxtaposition of that world with the violence, for sure, because it was...
It just... And I was all for that. It never had its payoff. It never, like, and I never saw the underlying reason for it. And it just stuck with me looking back on a great game. It's like you pick out its minor flaws. It's unfortunate that that's how it's how brain, like, people react to things. I feel like we're not alone in that. So, I mean, I don't even view that as being, you know, someone that does video game criticism, but it's just like, you're like, you look back for, okay, what held that back from perfection? And that was one of the things that kind of stood out.
But I will say, like, that one thing about that game that, like, I haven't thought about it since I thought about it when I first started playing it, is never have I felt so satisfied about killing the people in that town, though. Like,
terrible people.
Especially, like, being in an interracial relationship, like, it hit closer to home than I ever expected a game to. But so it was, like, really satisfying to just kill those dudes, you know.
On that end, though, the storytelling side, I had no issues with that. Like, I thought it brought up very, very smart discussions and should make you feel uncomfortable. And they handled it incredibly well. And I thought they made really smart decisions with the way it was portrayed. And you know, it was not meant, like, the whole, you know, Columbia's meant to be a utopia, but it's obviously a terrible, terrible place. So, that was that. I think that'll stick with me. The story will stick with me more. I wish I had played it through on a hard, because playing it through on normal, like, I didn't use the tools that Bioshock Infinite gives you. I didn't, like, set up traps or do elaborate skyhooking. I just, on normal, you can just blow through dudes, and it's kind of surprising that 70% of that game, with as many awesome enemy designs as it has, 70% of that game is just shooting dudes with guns.
Yep.
So that's, like I said, that's where I feel like the story and the gameplay kind of held each other back. Had they just made straight up sandbox shooter with all these tools and not tried to tell the story, I think it could have been phenomenal, and just from a gameplay perspective. And had they not tried to tell a story through first-person shooter in this world, they could have even done even more amazing things with the story. But all said and done, you get to the ending and how everything wraps together, just mind-blowing, and it will linger in my memory forever.
For sure, definitely. Gone Home.
Played that. Streamed that whole thing.
Yeah, I played it in one sitting, too.
Yeah, that thing is a.
It's hard. It's hard to articulate the feelings about it. Honestly, for me, is like, I really like.
It's a fucking achievement.
Yeah, without seeing characters and basically listening to audio tapes and reading, you know, like basically reading to like Vox tapes or whatever that's in BioShock, mm-hmm. Reading letters and all that stuff, you figure out what's going on with this family, and you become really attached yep. to that daughter, mm-hmm. And yeah, I figured out what her situation was pretty early, mm-hmm. but it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, I still wanted to find out how it was resolved.
Yeah,
and it was, how like the whole family was like.
I mean,
oh god, dude!
The brilliance of it.
It's amazing. Yeah.
The brilliance of it is just looking at the story. The pacing of the story is driven by how the house is designed and how you go through the house. And there would be so many ways to fuck that up. But I kept wanting to explore. It kept driving me, like, even playing through Amnesia recently, which some of these first-person horror games that I've been playing, like, story is a big part of those, and pacing is where, like, Outlast broke down. And even Amnesia had its moments, right. And especially Machine for Pigs. And then I look back last year's Dear Esther, kind of another story-driven game that the pacing was a little bit flawed, but that's what Gone Home nailed, and they told a story, an interactive story, in the most interesting way I've ever experienced, and and the story itself was just really touching. It just I thought I knew what to expect from that game. I was like, oh, 90s nostalgia, that's why you all like it. It's a big part of it, but it is it will be looked back on for its storytelling devices for a really long time, and I think it could be, in a group of games, it's a very transitional moment for storytelling in games, because they're trying to evolve, they're trying to, change what you can expect from first-person games and stories and games in general.
Yeah, you said it.
I just played that Monday, so it's still lingering. Oh, geez, with me. Yeah. So
I played it a couple months ago, but yeah, like that's the first game where I've done this has happened to me with movies before. That was the first. Well, the BioShock happened with BioShock 2. So the first game where I just sat there after I was finished and just like thought about it for 20-30 minutes, and it's also the first game I've ever said, Gar, you need to go in and play this right now.
Yeah.
Like, because she likes those kind of adventure games, so with that style. So I think she hasn't played it yet. She doesn't listen to me very well. But I've never had that reaction.
I'm trying to
any game or anything like that.
I don't think Megan would have the patience to play it, but I'm trying to think if I can somehow, like, put that on the big TV and play it for her, and if it'll hold her attention. But because I just think it's also just a beautiful story. So that was a big surprise. I'm glad that I've been just going through this list of things I have to finish or play before the end of the year. Is anything kind of stick out for you?
I can't believe you played that, BioShock, and then Last of Us, like, basically back to back.
It was
I really enjoyed what I played for Last of Us, but I haven't finished it yet.
And without spoiling the story and Gone Home, I thought it was going to go to places that were just going to emotionally wreck me. Like, after...
Yeah.
Like I said, I've been through some video game shit this year. Like, my favorite... Like, the end of... The last 2 hours of Last of Us, I was just yelling at the game. I was just like, fuck you, video game. And I thought I was going
to
have...
I need to play that.
Yeah. It's been kind of crazy. Yeah, anything you want to still try to get to, or are you kind of resolved in your games of the year at this point?
I mean, I don't think I have a top 10 list, but I'm pretty... Man, I wish I could have played some more Devil's May Cry after hearing you talk about it. I have it, I just haven't...
Problem is...
I haven't played past the first, like, stage,
really. It takes its turn for the awesome about stage 4.
Yeah.
So... Coop experience, though, so he'll have my back. Let's see.
Did Dishonored come out this year?
No, that was last year. It was end of the year last year, yeah. Did you play any Blood Dragon?
Yeah, I didn't really like it.
All right.
I like the setting and everything. It just seemed like, I don't know, Far Cry 3 seemed more interesting to me than Blood Dragon.
That's next on my indie list. I've got to play The Swapper and Risk of Rain. So those are coming up.
I've heard The Swapper is really good.
And I've got Antechamber after the show tonight. Let's see. I would highly recommend you play Valda's Story.
Valda's Story?
Yep. It'll, your Castlevania fandom will...
Is that on Steam?
It is on Steam.
How do you spell that?
V-A-L-D-I-S. All right,
That's it.
Yeah.
Abyssal City.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Let's see. What else have I done here? Yep.
That looks really cool.
I played a little bit little Gunpoint. Enjoyed that. Much more of a puzzle game than I expected.
Yeah. I played this game called Anodyne.
Yeah.
It's very like old school RPG. It came out back in March.
Mm-hmm. That is a this year game.
Yeah, it's like pixel art, like Final Fantasy looking kind of game from like Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. I haven't played a whole lot of it, but soundtrack's really good.
Did you play any Papers, Please?
I did not. That seems stressful to me.
It is very stressful. I still need to play XCOM, Enemy Within.
I do too. I started playing it, and I just...
Ethan said you don't need to finish the other one at all. Just jump right in. So, I trust him in that. Did you play Rogue Legacy? I think you did.
I love Rogue Legacy. Okay. I love it. It's one of my favorites.
And I'm trying to think what else I've picked up here. Recently. I'm running out of time, so it also just doesn't matter. Still need to play. I want to go back and play Call of Juarez Gunslinger. Coop played quite a bit of that. That was better than expected. So, I think that's about it.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else for me. Really.
Cool.
But yeah, those are I would say I have a feeling Brothers is going to be there. BioShock Infinite, Tomb Raider.
You didn't play Last of Us?
I played, what's the older... I don't want to spoil anything, but what's the older lady's name?
Yeah, I know where you're going with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to that point.
Okay. That's nothing.
I know, it's nothing.
God, the game hates you. I hated it, loved it, holy... It's a longer game than I expected, but I would highly recommend dumping some.
Man, I got some time this weekend. I can't believe I just looked at The Witcher 2. I can't believe that game came out in 2011.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
It looks so good for 2011.
You know, during your half-naked alone time, video game time this weekend, you might consider The Last of Us. I know you've got some PC games you're working on, but...
Yeah, and I'll probably end up playing 2K14 the whole time. So
Sports, man.
We're talking about, sports video games.
All right.
Or some Link Between Worlds.
Well, Cole, it was fun catching up with you, man. Thanks for
definitely
breaking it down. And maybe we'll see you on the Grimmies, which I would like to announce. We've just confirmed we're going to do our live Grimmies deliberations and award handouts. That's a terrible name for it. But we're actually going to live stream our deliberations. Last year it took about 8 hours. It's going to be between 6 and 8 hours, if I had to guess. Starting on January 4th. That's a Saturday. Probably around noon Eastern. I'll release some more details, but we'll be an assorted crew of Horrible Night members breaking down all of our categories from Best Digital Butt to Game of the Year. And some new ones, some old ones. We'll see where we end up. Hopefully no blood will be shed, but there will be at least a handful of us will be in the same location, so it could get interesting. So, and then be on the lookout. I think I'm going to do a check-in like this with Justin Gifford coming up as well. We haven't checked in with him for a while. And then we'll get our personal games of the year list out before the end of the year. And kick off 2014 with a massive Grimmies discussion. So that's where we're headed. For the Curse Checkpoint and HorribleNight.com, we will see you again next week. And we'll talk to you then.
See you guys.